Father, we thank you that you're never going to let us down. Even in difficult days and difficult times, Lord, we trust in you because, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are good. And you're such a good God to us. Lord, you take us through the storms. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as David proclaimed, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare us the table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint us our head with oil, our cups runneth over. And surely goodness and surely mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We are looking at this morning, you know, we saw baptism and we saw what was going on there a little bit with our baptism. We want to look at what we believe about baptism, and not only what we believe, but what the Word teaches about baptism to help us understand that. I think there's two extremes that are in our world today, and one extreme is that baptism is the all-in-all. It is the everything. And the other extreme is that baptism is not that important, that it doesn't really matter. And I want us to look at God's Word, and I believe it is something that is very important for us to know and to follow and to look at. And if you have you're here and you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you've never had what we consider believer's baptism, that means baptism after your faith in Jesus Christ, we pray that today, maybe some of these ways, that you will come to the acknowledgement in your heart and in your life that you need to make that decision to follow Him and believer's baptism. Baptism is a public confession of our faith. It is a public confession of our faith. Jesus challenged his disciples to confess their faith before others and to walk before others and disciples. Jesus didn't have any people that were in the secret service. Okay? The secret service is for the government. That's not for Jesus. God wants us and he needs us to be out there vocally sharing our faith and sharing and living our lives in such a way that it makes a difference. If we want to see this world change, if we want to see revival come, if we want to see an awakening come, we've got to live in an open, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ for other people to see. He challenged the disciples. In Matthew 10:32, he said, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Jesus said it is imperative that we publicly share our faith, that we publicly let people know that we have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Matthew 16:13, it says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say maybe John the Baptist, others maybe Elijah, so others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Jesus expected his disciples, which are all of us who have followed after him, to publicly share that we know him and who he is before others. When he asked him publicly, who do you say that I am? He asked, just like we did with these kids, just like we did with the adults, who do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Do you believe he died on the cross for you? Yes. Do you believe that he rose from the grave? Yes. Do you believe he's coming back to get you? Yes. Because it's a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, because it is a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ, I want to answer some questions for us here. One question is this. Is baptism necessary for our salvation? Is it necessary for our salvation? Well, there's different people that have different opinions about that, different denominations, different people that have different ideas about that. But you know what? It doesn't matter what our ideas are. It matters what the Word says. We have to go to the Word and look at the Word. Here's what the Scripture says. There's passages in Acts 15, Romans 4, basically that say this. There is no external act necessary for salvation. Salvation is by divine grace through faith alone. Let me read some scriptures to you here as we look at those areas. The first is in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. It says, that is God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a propitiation through faith in His blood to demonstrate His righteousness, because His restraint God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so He would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By what kind of works? No, on the contrary, by a law of faith. For we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. What are we justified by? Are we justified by what we do, how we live, how obedient we are, how we are baptized or anything like that? No, we are justified by faith and faith alone. It is faith and faith alone in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, He allowed us to put our faith in Him. If God said, by an act of your human nature, you could be saved, do you think He would have let His Son die on the cross? Do you think He would have said, Jesus, I'm going to let You die on the cross, but these people over here are going to get saved by living a righteous life, by following the law, by being baptized? No, He said to them, by faith alone, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith that God has given to us. Galatians 2:16, it says this, know that no one is justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because the works of the law, no human will be justified. And Philippians 3:9, it says, and be found in Him, having not a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. It is our faith in Christ, not our faith that saves in us, but our faith in Him and what He has done. Jesus Christ came and lived and died on the cross so that we could put our belief in Him. There's nothing else you can do. You can't say, I'm going to be good enough, I'm going to not sin, I'm going to do these things, I'm going to live a certain way. It's by faith alone in what Christ has done for us. Now, sometimes people say, well, yeah, but what about other places in the Scripture where it says something about baptism? And I go to certain places. One is 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul states there, he said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, thus clearly differentiating between the gospel from baptism. It helps us understand that water baptism is not necessarily to wash away your sins. It's not necessarily for your salvation. Your salvation is what Jesus Christ did. There are many people in the Bible who were saved way before they were baptized. Cornelius was one. What about the thief on the cross? What about him? We always ask that question. Did Jesus say, hey, everybody stop the show, I got to get down and get this guy baptized, because he just trusted in Christ? No, He said, today you'll be with Me in paradise. Why? Because he put his faith in Jesus Christ, and he did that. We must understand that. Now, the Bible does have some scriptures that look as though it says you must have baptism for salvation. But you must go back to those scriptures and look at those scriptures not as a proof text, but you must look at those scriptures in the context of where they're at. And also, scripture needs to always match up with other scripture. One of the basic principles of biblical interpretation is analogy of Scripture. The analogy of Scripture. We must compare Scripture with Scripture, not Scripture with our beliefs or Scripture with our desires. We must declare Scripture with Scripture. And when you do that, you come to the conclusion that baptism is there to help us share with others our faith that has already happened in our heart and in our life. So what do we believe as Baptists? As this church is called a Baptist church, that word is a word that was coined in 1511 whenever we wrote the King James Version of the Bible was written, and King James authorized the authorized version of the Bible. And I know many people like the King James. They love the King James. I love the King James for memorizing because it's a poetic book. It helps us understand and memorize sometimes a lot more than just our normal English translation. But up until that time, they didn't have a translation that was really written for them. We had the Latin Vulgate. We had the scripture that was written for us to help us understand. And most people didn't read Greek. And if you read Greek, you didn't know how to even pronounce it because it was Koine Greek in which the New Testament was written. And it was a common spoken language of the people in that day. And so the King James Version of the Bible was written. King James had become a believer, and he had declared that the Catholic faith was the faith of the country, that England would all be Catholics, and it was going to be the state religion that was going to happen. Well, the guys were out there, and they were translating along the scripture, and they came to a word in the scripture called baptismo. And baptismo in the scripture, a Greek word, which meant to immerse or dunk. It was the same word that they used for dyeing a piece of material. You took a piece of material, you dunked it under the water, and whatever was in the water became a part of that, and it changed that material. They came to King James and said, King James, we got a problem. What's the problem? Well, we came to this word, baptismo. He said, what's the problem? Well, King James, baptismo means to dunk, to immerse, to dip. And he said, okay, King James, we as the Catholic Church that we are declaring to be the church doesn't do that. We sprinkle people. Oh, what are we going to do? Give us some direction. Help us understand it. Because if we write this Bible and we put it out and it comes to this point, it says, you must be immersed. We're going to have to go back and change everything. He said, okay, so what are we going to do? He said, we have an idea. Here's our idea. We will take the word from Greek. We will transliterate it into English. The letters, B-A-P-T-I-Z-M-O, we'll take that. We'll make a brand new word called baptize or baptism out of those. We'll just take those letters, put them over, we'll make new words. It'll be baptism. So when the Bible's written, we'll come along and we'll say, oh, it says to be baptized. Okay, we'll make that work. That works, except the word means to dip. It means to immerse. So we're really not a Baptist church. We are a dipper church. That's what we are. That makes me the big dipper. Every time I say that, people laugh. I don't know. But you dip or immerse people. And so we believe, number one, baptism is by immersion. Baptism is for number one is baptism is for believers. Believers need to believe in Jesus Christ first. In Matthew 28:19, it says, there go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, first make disciples out of them and then baptize them. Baptism, we believe, is for a believer in Jesus Christ, someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know people who have been baptized when they were little, baptized, and then later on they come and go, I did not get saved until I was this age or that age. And when I got saved, I never have been baptized again. And I need to follow the Lord in what we call believer's baptism. So we call it believer's baptism, and we believe that that is the mode in which Christ said for us to do it. And then that second part is that baptism is by immersion. In Mark 1:10, it said this, and straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens rent asunder and the spirit of dove ascending on him. Now, a few years ago, there was a Jesus Project, and some of you may have seen the Jesus film. It's been used all over the world in all places, and they show this film out in the middle of the Africa where there's no electricity or anything. They'll hook up a generator, they'll hook up a deal and say, hey, we're having a movie tonight. They show the Jesus film. As they show the Jesus film, One of the things that happens in the Jesus film that I noticed was that Jesus walks out into the water like he did there. He comes right up to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "We're here at the river." And he reaches down and he grabs a handful of water and puts it on his head. And Jesus walks out. Well, the reason why is because the people who did that, their denomination, I'm going to say which one it is, their denomination believed in sprinkling, not in immersion. But my scripture says he came up out of the water. Now, does that mean he walked out in the water and John poured water on his head and then he said he came up out of the river? No, I believe he went under the water. I believe it was a mode that is important. Why? Because it is to symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when they bury someone, they don't just say, "Hey, throw a handful of dirt on them, sprinkle a little dirt on them." They put them 6 feet under, they bury them, and the idea that we have of baptism is that when that person is put in that water, they are buried with Christ in there, and they come out of that grave to walk in a brand new life. So we believe number two is that baptism is by immersion. Number three, baptism is a symbolic act. In Acts 19:1-5, it says there, "And it came to pass, while that Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'No, we did not much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him and should come, the one to come after him, that is on Jesus.' And when they heard this, they were baptized into the Lord in the name of Jesus." John the Baptist was out there and he's baptizing. The picture that you saw, he was a crazy guy. He ate locusts. He dressed in crazy clothes. And he was the one who was Jesus' cousin. He was out there declaring the way of the Lord. But his baptism was for the Jews to repent, to turn away from their law, to turn away from what they had believed in that was going to save them, and to turn to the one who was going to become the true Messiah. And so these people here were baptized into Jesus. It is a symbolic act to identify ourselves with Jesus. It's, if you can understand, it's like putting on the uniform of a Christian when we are baptized. If you're going to play for a certain team or you're going to be in the military and be in a certain branch, you don't say to them, "Hey, listen, I brought my own outfit I'm going to wear. I really don't like that olive green stuff. I think I'll wear this bright pink stuff. It's really nice." No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to choose. You wear the uniform of the one that you serve. If you're serving Jesus, you wear his uniform. And we serve in baptism, we wear his uniform, we're identified with him. It symbolizes also what Christ did for us. In Romans 6:3 it says, "Are ye ignorant that we all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" It's symbolically of his death when we are identified with him in the death, burial, and resurrection. It also symbolizes a cleansing from sin. In Acts 22:16, he says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized to wash away thy sin, calling on his name." And someone says, "Yeah, look at, there it is. There it is. You baptize, it washes away your sin." It's a symbolic act symbolizing that we wash away sins in our life. I served in a church one time, and as we were serving the church, there was another church down the street from us. I believe baptism actually washed away your sin. When you're in the water, it washed away your sin. I was outside one day and we were working in our flower bed out front, and there was a faucet there on the outside, and I turned on and he goes, "See, you're watering your plant." I said, "Yeah, what we do with our baptistry, not this one." I said, "Our baptistry, that church, had an outside faucet we could open up and it would flood the flower beds, and so every time we baptize, you'll use the water again." He said, "Oh, we can't do that at our church. It would kill every plant out there." I said, "Why would it kill every plant?" He said, "Because that water's full of sin. It's full of sin. Once we baptize with it, we got to send it down the drain because it's full of sin." I said, "It's full of sinners, but it's not full of sin. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by getting in some water. We wash that away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But baptism then also symbolizes, it testifies of the death of Jesus Christ is made for us. In Romans 6:4, it says, "We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life." That's why we say, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a brand new life. It shows that we were buried into his death. Christ died for us, and we are saying, "I die for myself." Galatians 2:20, Jim, we were talking about this morning, says, "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the faith which I now live by the Son of God, I live by faith in the Son of God." That we are buried with him. Our life is dead. And so symbolically, when we go into that water, we say, "I'm dead. I am dead. And I am raised up to walk in a brand new life with Jesus living in me." Totally different, because I have Christ living in my life. The last thing is this. Baptism is not dependent on a special person to administer. I know sometimes we say, "Well, only the preacher can baptize people. Only that can happen." Actually, during the early church of the Mennonites and also the Baptists, they would do different things. When they started those churches, they believed that, and because of that, the pastor would baptize himself first, and then he could baptize everybody else. Just like today, we had fathers that came with their children to baptize. If a father is willing to do that, we make that available. It's not about me. I have no special power to baptize someone. We baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, not in the name of the Baptist Church or the name of the pastor. We baptize people into him. In Acts 8:38, as Cornelius was there, he said he commanded his church to stand still, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them right there in that place. I don't know whether you've ever had scriptural baptism or not. This morning we got to be a part of some people having scriptural baptism, some for the first time, some for the second time, to make sure that they are baptized after their salvation experience. But today we come to, and I encourage you to look at your life and ask yourself, have I had scriptural baptism? Too often we swing that pendulum to one side and say, it's not that important. If I do, if I don't, no big deal. Folks, it's important. It's a symbolic act to show everyone else. Jesus always called his disciples publicly. When they came to him, the only one that we show in the scripture was Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night. He was hiding out, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "You must be born again." And then he had a scripture there. He said, "Everyone who is born of water and of the Spirit," and a lot of people use that and say, "I see water right there. You're supposed to be baptized." That's not what he's talking about, folks. He's talking about being born from your mother's womb, where the water breaks and you're born. That means your first birth. You're birthed once there, and the second birth is be born again. That is to be born of the Spirit of God, when God's Spirit comes into your heart, into your life, and changes you from the inside out. And when that happens, you want to say, "God, I'll be obedient, whatever you want me to do." And the first act of obedience is to be baptized. That's what he wants us to do. So everyone, and I know sometimes people, "I'm embarrassed, I don't want people to see." If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, Jesus said. He wants us to do that. So if you're here today, I'd love to talk with you about that. I'd love for you to share and say, "Listen, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. I want to make sure that I've done it the right way." Is that my way? No, that's God's way, what God's Word teaches. And so, please, I would ask that you come and talk to me and say, "You know, I would like to do that." Whatever it is. The second thing is this: if you have been baptized, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've been baptized, tell somebody. Share it with the world. That's what he wants. He doesn't need secret service. He needs us out there at the forefront telling people about the Lord. Something's happening in our world right now. an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and we better be a part of it, and we need to be a part of it, and you can be a part of it if you want to. Trust in Him and follow Him and be obedient to what He calls you to do. Bow your head with me this morning. Lord, I thank you for these that we baptized this morning. I thank you for those here in this congregation, Lord, who are really contemplating and thinking about following you in this way. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you will help them and give them courage to be obedient to what you've called them to do in their heart. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church and in around the world. We praise you and thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.